Chris and T, how is life? Life
Blessed, you already know. Amazing.
all is perfect and complete.
Living
Amen.
my dream. MYD.
How are you,
Yeah.
sir?
I'm good, man. You know what? I was when I do this, I always think back to how I meet the guests who come on. And I feel like I met you guys, it would have been on Twitter about maybe about 12 or 13 years ago.
Right. I
We,
remember.
yep.
Remember that he was working on what, like he was working on Jennifer Lopez at the time,
Oh,
or
wait. You know what's crazy? You were. Know what happened, I think. So I think I met you guys on social media. I want to say maybe 2013. But then you were working with Jennifer and you asked me to pitch some tracks to her. So I sent you two. One was called Voodoo.
remember that.
That's crazy. I forgot about that.
My email, I still got them around.
Yeah.
For, I'll send them to you after this.
Oh, crazy, crazy. So, guys, what's new? What's going on with you guys? It's been a minute.
Oh, I'm blessed. You already know. We just been doing this healing them, not killing them. You know, this healing journey. Positive affirmations. You know. Same old, man. We just dropped the jazz album. I just dropped Shariah Wise. We've been working with the Affirmation Avengers, so we just dropped that album that came out 11/22. It's just great. We just keep working.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's new, like, and we're just growing every day. We're just growing.
Amazing. And
Cool.
so, when I first met you, if I'm correct, you're working with Corey Mooney. I think what 10, 15 years ago or before that.
I think that was around the time we was work pitching for Jennifer again.
Okay. I
Yeah.
see.
What was that? Probably like 2013, 2014.
I think it may have been end of 2014, beginning of 2015.
That was it.
All right. So for those who don't know, who is Chris and T?
Who is Chris and T?
Oh.
We're amazing souls and individuals. We're musicians, fathers, husbands. You know what I'm saying? But we've done a lot of work as producers in the industry over the past decade and a half. What else? Help me out, T.
I mean, musical geniuses, you know what I'm saying? The best producers in the world, artists, you feel me? All the above. All the above.
Yeah, because you guys have done work for 50 Cent, of course, Jennifer Lopez, Ciara, who else?
Danity King,
Yeah.
as
Red and
C,
Meth.
Red and Method Man. A lot of stuff that didn't come out. We worked with a lot of artists too, but
Mary J. Blige and all of them. Yeah.
interesting. So, when does your story begin? Chris, you were in London a few years ago and we spoke, and I know you mentioned, I think you mentioned that you were in the church initially, or there was some program you were a part of which gave you a start in music.
You said there was a program.
I think you said something like that in the studio.
Oh, okay. So yeah, church was definitely the musical foundation. My dad is a pastor. He actually just retired. He just retired this year. Congrats to him. But that's how I started. I was playing the drums in church when I was like four. When I started playing keys, my mom got me a keyboard. And similar story, it happened to be a workstation that made beats. So I started making beats. And then when I went to school with these ideas, one of my OGs was like, "Yo, I gotta take you to the studio with me."
I see.
My big bro, Bigger V, shout out.
The Vega V.
Okay, see. And so, how did you meet T?
Mutual friends. former high school, and he could tell you some more about that.
Okay.
Yeah. I started similar around drums, doing drums, percussion. I was like the youngest in jazz band. And then when I got to high school, we had mutual friends like Lonnie. He had a Triton. So I got a Triton. And then that's how I started making beats. So that happened freshman year. And then, we linked up. That's that Alani told me about Chris. It was like, yeah, there's somebody else around the way that's making beats like you. So we linked up. As soon as I seen him, it was up. You know what I mean? Went beat for beat.
Sweet.
The good old days, you know?
And so you become Chris and Steve, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a clear idea about what you wanted to make musically? Was there a vision, or were you just taking things as they were going?
I would have to say we were manifesting and we didn't even know it. We didn't know what we were doing, but when we linked, we noticed each other's particular sounds and styles, and we merged that. And then once it merged, it's like, well, we need a record on Sierra. Well, you know, Making It a Band was on TV at the time. We gotta get on this show. You know what I mean? We gotta 50 Cent. So we're like saying these things out loud and confirming it to one another and agreeing, like, this is what we want to do. And it happened. Not even 2 years later, we're getting calls left and right. Like, family, and get a call on Thanksgiving from Rockwilder, like, yo, they just confirmed they went, Do You Think About Me for 50 Cent? Like, oh, that. Crazy.
I remember that call too.
Sierra, everything just fell into place.
So how do you go from being two kids in high school making music to 50 Cent using your tracks to Sierra? How does that happen?
Well, I remember it started out when we was in the room. Cause remember, I was like, yo, we just gonna go to New York. We didn't really know why or what we was doing. I'm talking on the mic like I'm on the mic. We don't really know why what we was doing, but we was like, let's go to New York. And whoever got a BlackBerry, we gonna run down on. We knew where all the labels were. So we knew like the address to Def Jam, the address to Sony and stuff like that. So we would just camp out. We would drive up there. We would camp out and we just started meeting people that way. We started meeting people. We run into, that's how we met. I forgot boy name. Boy that introduced us to Big Draws, Chris. What's his name?
That was Steve-O.
Steve-O, yeah. He was the A&R up there.
He's known for A&R for Nipsey and different now, but yeah.
So I think it was either first we ran into the assistant of L.A. Reid, that was Alexis, and then we ran into Steve-O. Oh, nah, she was working for Steve-O, right?
She introduced us to Steve-O.
She introduced us to Steve-O, and then Steve-O introduced us to Big Draws. Big Draws introduced us to Rockwilder. And that's how it panned out. So it was us making that conscious decision. We're going to New York. Why? We don't know. We just go get up there. We had a little slight plan. Anybody with a BlackBerry got to be about it. Because BlackBerry, yeah. That was the phone at that time. It just dropped. So, you know, everybody in the industry got all the newest phones. So I remember that's all we said. Like, whoever got BlackBerry, we was going to run down on. And we wasn't scared. So we just, anybody that came out that office, yo, we Chris and T, we do this, we got this. And we just started, boom, till we met people. It was like, yo, all right, come up. And then we made it in the office. We had our first meeting with Lenny S. We made it up there. Funny, because we called our friend from L.A., Jay Rich. And Jay Rich hit Lenny S. Was like, yo, I got these kids in New York. They right outside your office right now. Let them up. And we was right there, literally right outside the office, like outside the building. Lenny called up and we went up there. That's when we met Jay.
First official industry meeting, you know.
Met Jay that day.
Wait to our meeting, him and Lenny S is chopping it up. We heard his voice coming around the corner. I'm like looking at T, like, it sounded like the record. I know that voice.
Wow.
In the corner. And we like, oh, what up, Jay? Clap him up, and him and, you know, Lenny S start talking. Me and T geeking, like, for real. This is how it works. Like, we're in. It wasn't even about him. It was about we're in.
Our environment. Yeah. Like, we was outside and now we're inside. Like that. That was the illest. That was one of our first meetings inside the building. We was always outside the building. So, that was fire. And then after that, it was up from there. It was up from there.
That's amazing. Wait, all right. So you're in Jersey, right? Jersey and decide, listen, we're going to New York. You go to New York, you find the address for Def Jam. Yeah. We're outside Def Jam. And you were like, whoever has a black. I was telling Chris before you came on to you that in this podcast, what I've realized is that the thread that I find is most apparent to me, all of this is intention, right? Deciding, here's my dream, here's my goal, here's what I would like, and deciding I'm going for it. I don't care what it looks like, I don't care how mad I seem, yeah, I'm pushing for it. And so hearing that is amazing because what's insane is that had you been less audacious, you would have been at home, right? Not knowing that what a 2.5 road trip away is your destination. That's crazy, man. That's amazing.
Yeah, it gave me chills to think about. I didn't even think about it like that. I never even thought about it like that because we just had that passion. Like nothing was going to stop us because we just believed in our talent so much. So I didn't even think about it like that. But yeah, it definitely would have been crazy to not even think like that. It was only 2 hours away, and that changed our life.
For
Us
real.
making that decision changed our lives. So yeah.
Amazing. All right, so you're in Def Jam's offices now, right? You see, you meet Jay-Z, and then you meet Lenny S, right? Okay, so how does that go?
It went well. I mean, he gave us good feedback. It was like, yo, keep working, keep grinding, pretty much that type of vibe. When he didn't have he was working on like Jay at the time, and we didn't have nothing for Jay, but he appreciated, huh?
Listen, we played pop records. We
Yeah, we
played
was playing pop records and stuff.
everything we had, like.
Played everything we had. He seen the talent though. He was like, yo, y'all got all types, y'all range is incredible, but I'm working on hip hop. Like, so he was like, I got these two artists right here. You know what I mean? And then, but it was nothing for him in that time. But that experience, like I said, was bigger than that because from there, like me and Steve-O, we met Big Draws, which was writers. So all of that pop and R&B stuff we had, it fit for the writers. So we ran into Big Draws from there. And Steve-O linked us with Big Draws. That was a crazy story too, because at that time we ain't had no bread. So what happened was, Chris, remember Chris? We ain't had no bread, but we had to get him down here. We had a studio. So what Chris did, go ahead, tell him the story, Chris.
And we cleared out the crib. Me and the wife, we cleared out the crib, bruh.
They moved out for a week.
Wow, whoa.
Made it like it was an Airbnb and said, yo, y'all can stay here. And
Yep.
we could stay at my parents' crib.
Wow.
Know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It was for a couple days. We provided transportation back and forth. We made it real comfortable as we could to not have no money.
Yeah,
You know what I
we
mean?
had nothing. We had nothing at the time.
It can
And pulled
work.
it off though. Made it work. We had a spot to work. You feel me? We just had to find a spot for them to stay and for him to be like, all right, look, me and the fam gonna move out the crib. We gonna just have them come here. That
Wow.
was crazy. That move changed our lives too, because that's how we met Rockwilder. If not for that, we'd have never met Rockwilder.
And
So, because she.
why did I move out the crib? They had two on Destiny's Fulfill album. They
Oh,
had
yeah. Yeah,
that
Niche ain't no.
if and the free record that they
Yeah.
wrote, Rockwilder produced. So
Yeah.
those are our OGs right there. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely got hits under her belt. So Niche came down, and that was a blessing too, to even come down with as many records as she had placed. She didn't have to do that either. But you know what I mean? On the strength of Steve-O saying that we had the talent, she came down to see for herself. And then we blew her away. She was like, wow, y'all really got range. Everybody's impressed with our range. So then she called Rock, and then Rock was like, bring him up. So now we shooting up the Long Island every day. Shout out
Okay.
to
Okay.
Long Island, bro. And we stayed there the first time
Stay
we
there.
went. We ended up spending the night for like a week. And then that was just a pattern. We go home and refresh ourselves on the weekend and come right back.
We did that for about, I don't even know, because our time, like everything happened fast. So I don't know how long it was, but it didn't feel like that long. It was like always seasons. Because right after that, I remember just having that conversation with him, Chris, like, yo, y'all need to have artists. And me and Chris was like, now nah, we're going to get a placement. And probably a week later, that's when our first placement came in.
Which
The
was it?
Dandity Kane, Make
Make
Me
me sick.
Sick.
Wow.
Yeah. I
That's
came in a week
a
later.
wow. Now, what's crazy is you just said that when you first became a duo, you watched Making the Band and said, listen, you want to be on that show. And here you are, your very first placement was the biggest band to come from that show.
Facts.
Okay, so let's run through, run it back to that song, its production, its origin. How did it start? What was the initial idea you had? You made it.
Go ahead, Chris. Turn up.
So, from what I can remember, because it was really a long time ago, but it does feel like yesterday. But no, what I can remember, I can only speak about that. we started the beat. We had a it was perfectly orchestrated. I can't even hold you. It had string arrangements and everything, but it's a this is when urban pop was it. So we had an urban pop banger. I mean, we sent it to the songwriters A plus. They did mad work. You feel me? They were signed to Rodney Jerkins at that. They had just got out of a deal with Rodney Jerkins at that time. And, we sent them some records with some beats, and they sent that joint back when we was at Rockwaller's crib.
Timing.
We played it, right? The whole house went silent for at least 10 minutes. I'm not lying to you. We didn't get confirmation for Rockwaller too, which we will. But the whole house went, he's like, play it again. And it was just nonstop. It was on repeat. So then the next day, we went to go meet Conrad over at Bad Boy. And he had already got the record because our manager sent him the record. Our manager had knew him, but us showing up with Rockwaller, we got the confirmation. You know what I'm saying? That, yo, it's a done deal. The album is done, but they gotta cut this record because they love it so much. And they cut the record. It ended up being a Target exclusive bonus track.
Okay.
That's the only reason it wasn't a single, because they were already done mixing and mastering.
Oh, I see. So because the album had been completed, right, they had to let's say re-release the record to Target as an exclusive with the track on it.
Right. Everything, the whole plan was mapped out. Like, we wasn't even on the show.
Wow. Of course, yeah, because the whole point of it was that you're seeing them make the records that they release in the series.
Right. There that didn't get on the album, which is crazy. So it's just God had his hand on this the whole way through.
And so how was the song structured? So does it have all five taking the lead, who performed the lead and track? How does it work?
We weren't there for that. That was also
Yeah.
the beginning of like things going from CD to digital. So now we're in the files, and that's how we knew we had the placement. They asked us to send the files to see how their voices sounded on
See. Okay. All right. So that happens. And when that happens and the song comes, oh, is oh, sorry, better question. How soon does the song come out after you find out you have the placement?
I think maybe a month.
Wow.
Because they added it to it was already done. That they was already shipping out albums. That's why I had to be on the deluxe.
Crazy.
They was already shipping out. So the first we missed the first wave of albums. That's how tight it was. They had just recorded the record. Was like, oh, we're gonna throw this. This is so good. We're gonna throw this on the deluxe. So it was some deluxe exclusive.
Which is insane because there are instances where, for example, you write a song for someone and the track may not come out for 2 or 3 years. And I mean, in this instance, we're talking about the fact that you had this song. I mean, within 4 weeks of them hearing it, they had cut it and they released it. All right. So that's Danity Kane. So what was the second placement that followed this one?
I'm on.
Okay.
That's great. And it's funny because that came out fast too. It was a leak. That came out right away. Was I'm on a leak?
It did get leaked. That's why it wasn't a single. Everything was getting leaked at that time.
That was the era of leaks. So
that was the first leaks. I remember
the labels was calling them leaks, but really they was like, you know how they throw out fillers now. But that was like they were a leak, but we didn't understand it. We took it the wrong way. We was upset. We like, yo, how y'all gonna just drop our drone without a video? I remember that, but at the same time, we was hyped because it was on, like, it's on the album, it's on Fantasy Ride. So that was the second placement.
Her name, and she was performing it on the circus tour with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
There's still footage of her performing it on YouTube right now. It's crazy.
Yeah. How would that work? So you guys would get the mechanicals, so if it, right from that.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
We still get paid for that record.
It's a question. So with the, well, not question, more of a statement. With the leaks, yeah, I remember this very well because the leaks usually, if I recall, would appear on Media Takeout. I remember back in the day, they would leak. And so you're saying that it was the labels releasing maybe teasers and feelers to build hype for the record before the first
album. Yeah.
It's interesting. Okay. Okay. And so with I'm On, right, how did you create that? How inspired were you by what he had done before when you were building this track?
That's pretty much the same thing. Go ahead, Chris.
I would have to say inspired enough. But at that time she was trying to be Janet Jackson. That's what Fantasy Ride really was all about. You could hear Janet Jackson had feedback out at that time.
Okay.
Am I lagging? My internet good?
No, you good.
So she had feedback out at that time. So it was more of an influence than
Sierra.
You know what I mean? So she actually put it out there. She was like, yo, I want Janet sound and stuff.
I mean, that happens, right? How do you safely pull from what the reference is without imitating what the reference is? That's
a good question. They usually imitate what the reference is.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, sweet.
It depends on, like, some writers are good at underselling the record. So those be like, usually the male writers. So male writers know how to undersell the record, meaning, you know what I mean? They don't do too many ad-libs and stuff on the reference track. You feel me? Some writers are doing ad-libs and all that, and they intimidate the artist. So they can't even keep up. So some writers got to dumb it down and dial it back so that the artist could actually keep up to mimic it. And then you got your Beyoncé's who's going to not, you know, add her flair to everything. You know what I mean? She's probably a different beast, but most artists are shooting for the record because they got demoitis anyway, so they want to sound like what they like. So they picking the record, that means they like how it sounds, so they gonna want to sound like.
I see. Makes sense. So artists can be put off, for example, if the reference vocalist, let's say, does too many runs or is too expressive, it's too expressive on the track.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah.
how can the artists hear themselves on it? Like sometimes you'll hear a demo and the tone of the demo singer is what sells it because they're singing it in a certain tone and they're in a certain pocket. Like, yo, this sounds like me, or I could hear myself singing this, and then they start singing along. You know what I'm saying?
Unless you Michael Jackson, you know what I mean? You hear flowetry, and then you can be like, oh, I can do that. Not too many people can do butterfly after hearing flow, because the reference sounds just as good. Flowetry on was it, it I keep saying the group name, but it was I forgot who actually did it.
Was it Marsha Bridges?
She sounds just like Michael.
Yeah.
That's different. So like you got your certain unique people who can sound, who can sing. But then you got, not saying that they can't sing, it's a difference. You got your tiers. You got rungs of talent.
Yeah. Like even R. Kelly talked about that working with Michael. When you were not alone, you know what I'm saying? Like he sung the backgrounds on the record, but everybody thought it was Michael. And the demo sounded like Michael. So sometimes you gotta put yourself in the artist's shoes most of the time.
So who cut the demo for I'm On?
Anisha Bershett at the time.
Nice.
That was her maiden name. But yeah, Anisha, she's incredible. One half of A plus. And yeah, we've done half of our career with them.
So how does it work? So for example, so if someone is asked to come in to record a demo, right, are they paid a day rate for their time? How does the money work basically? How are they compensated?
I feel like it's a case by case basis. Sometimes we work with people that are all in one, like saying they are the main writer and they know how to record themselves. So like I feel like producers have to go through a certain level of mastering their craft, and I feel like writers are more valuable when they can do the same.
I see.
Versus just being like, yo, I got a dope pen. Let me come in. You know what I'm saying? Well, I got a dope beat. Do you have a setup? I could just send you this and you send it back. Like, we don't gotta overthink it. You know what I mean? That's most of our cases. Like, I don't really deal with just specific demo singers. It's the writer.
And so at this point, were you managed by Corey Mooney?
Nah, this was Virgil Harper.
Okay, I see. Okay, and so how did you meet Virgil?
We grew up together. Well, they did.
Yeah, through Lonnie again. Him and Lonnie, they went to church together. Whatever. Yeah, they went to church together, and he was already like working with the Corner Boys. I don't know if you remember them. The Corner Boys, they did work on Omarion. They did work like, just mad people. I forget their whole catalog, but they were on fire.
I see.
They actually discovered Rico Love.
Wow.
So yeah, they worked with Usher, they worked with everybody.
Now
So
earlier, also going.
what's that?
No, I was going to say. So earlier, you mentioned urban pop, right? And you're talking about a time period. I'm going to say perhaps it's like the mid 2000s to the beginning of, let's say, the 10s, right? So how would you define urban pop? How would you describe it?
Describe the sound of urban pop. Like,
I was about to say feedback.
ghetto Britney Spears, like rhythms. Like, you can feel that boom, boom, boom. Like, you can hear the R&B influence, chords, melodies, like You get, but there's swag in the beat too. Steve used to swing the hell out of the percussions on it. You know what I mean? Like, it was crazy.
Okay. Back then, it was a specific pop sound on the top line too. A lot of synth heavy stuff, Omnisphere, and all of that.
Yeah, it really is. And even as far as the visuals go, right? So I think during that time, a lot of the videos took place in the warehouses. So you know what I'm saying? So okay, interesting. So I've always found this. I think in the 90s, right? Most R&B stars shot videos, or the videos took place, right, in the suburbs, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, right? And then something happened in the 2000s when the scenes left the suburbs and went to the city. So as far as you guys know, what happened culturally in the zeitgeist that made things A, move faster as far as tempo, right? And as far as visuals and mise-en-scène, why did that happen? Like, what caused that shift?
I mean, in my mind, I never thought about that. So that's a great question.
Okay.
I think people just wanted to dance and have a good time. Why else? We have up-tempo music. You feel me?
Yeah. At that time, mid-tempos was in R&B-wise. I think that's the era of the mid-tempo, when everybody was looking for a high-energy mid, Chris, what they were calling them, high-energy mid. So the only up-tempos were pop records at the time. It was the four on the floor joint.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the only up-tempos at that time. Everything else was mid-tempo, like Dream and all that. You know what I mean? All of that stuff was in. Yeah.
Yes,
all
yes.
The mid up high energy mid tempos. Green was killing the club with that.
He was.
Yo. Yeah. I remember that era.
Okay. Sweet. Okay, so then we have Ciara, Danity Kane, 50 Cent. How did that come to be?
Rockwilder.
Yeah. Okay. We was working on a pack for 50. He sent it in. 50 was probably the easiest person to work with out of everybody. You know what I'm saying? Because he listened to everything. So it ain't really got to be like a friend of a friend or a person, somebody you trust. They ain't got to be really none of that. It's just like, yo, he got a list of CDs. It's just a matter of getting in that, you know what I mean, in that list. So Rockwilder being Rockwilder, he's in that list. Like, you know what I mean? So he's just going through Jones. He happened to pick Do You Think About Me? And after that, it was up from there. That we did like four more. Well, we got like four more placements with him, I think, after that.
Yep. It's crazy.
From his R&B artist too.
Governor,
yeah.
When we did Do You Think About Me, the story is kind of crazy. We're all in Salt's basement at that time. But he had a workstation set up, so he would come through and work, and we would work, and we would play musical chairs. Like, so he played me, Do You Think About Me? And I'm like, yo, I definitely got keys for this, bro. Like, so I just started playing, you know what I mean? And I mean, that's pretty much the story, but mm-hmm. in my mind, because Who's previewing all the beats before they come out? Salt from Salt and Pepper. Like, wow. She's giving a say on everything. Like, I'm like, wow. So just to have those kind of major influences to bless the records before, like, we actually play them for other people. I feel like that did something too. That's in my mind. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Back.
All right. So interesting. So you had Salt hearing the tracks first and telling you which ones she thought would really work before they were then pitched to 50.
That just she just always came down. It wasn't specifically before we pitched to 50. It was okay. Pretty much everything. Like, we would just be playing music. She'd come down with all that fire.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Amazing. And so I saw Chris in London, bro. That would have been almost 3 years ago now.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, great. Yeah. An experience. So when we were working, I know you mentioned that you guys were heading towards more of a of course it's always artistic, but more of a like more like a jazz type space, right? And you're doing that now. So how would you describe the shift in your sound and your not intention, but in what you're making musically?
Man,
you talking about the shift from trap affirmations to jazz affirmations, or you talk about the shift from working in the in working on industry placements to doing our own high five one? That one? Why? Well, yeah, that's a story. We pretty much went through the whole industry circus, man. Like, we dealt with all of that, like, the competition, the doubt, all of that. Well, at that time we was in a weird place, so we looked towards like self, more spirituality stuff. So we started doing like, I personally started meditating more and like really trying to slow my mind up. Chris, you can tell him, what you got into. But we pretty much we was in LA. We went out there for about a year, lived out there for about a year with Corey Rooney, and just was soaking up game, but wasn't getting paid, wasn't, you know what I mean? Wasn't working the way it was supposed to, or the way we, well, I guess it did work out the way it's supposed to, because everything happened for a reason. So we ended up being in the we read The Alchemist before we went out there. Remember that, Chris? Read The Alchemist before we went out there. So we kind of lived it. We went to the coffee shop. That's the whole being managed by Corey, learning how to executive produce an album. But then we went to the desert. We had to leave the coffee shop. So, that's when we separated from Corey
I
and went
see.
to the, huh? What'd
Okay,
you
I
say?
see. I
Oh,
see.
yeah. So we went to the desert. That's when we met a lot of good people out in LA, man. So even that story, getting out to the desert, is a whole nother story. But pretty much we start working on self at that point. We still in LA. So I'm quiet. It's the first time me and Chris together, quiet as mouth, like no words in the crib. And I just remember Chris like, yo, I'm gonna start reading the contracts. He was dead serious. He said, I'm gonna start reading. And after that, after he said that, he pulled out all the contracts that we was in, everything that people sent us, anything like that, and he was just reading. And me, I just vowed never to feel like how I was feeling. I was feeling like not confident. You know what I'm saying? Even took me a minute to get my confidence back. I remember dealing with Cassie. Chris, that story with Chris, you know what I mean? Chris, remember that when you called Cassie, and I was like, don't call her this girl. I was bad timid. It took me a minute to get my confidence back too from all this stuff we've been through. So back to the story. So we leave LA and we start building tools to help ourselves. Like I said, Chris started working on reading and stuff like that, so we wouldn't be in no more situations. And me, I wanted to get more into affirmations and stuff, because I felt like me and him, we was reading books. We was reading a lot of books, so Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, all of that. So we was applying everything in the books. And the law of attraction, you gotta be what you're talking about. So we needed something that we can that are attached to our heart. So anything I seen was slow. So all the affirmation music we seen was slow. So we did money, and money is up tempo, it's fast, you can dance to it and say the affirmation. So you got both parts. So it's about, you also need your heart energy as well as the mind. So the mind is the conscious and the subconscious, but your heart energy is what's going to draw the reality to you. So once you start dancing and you're moving, and the frequencies is 432 hertz, by the way. So once you're dancing and you're moving, now the affirmations is working. So mind you, the whole first album, us. So like wake up, because we was waking up. not feeling good. So we wake up every day feeling good. We started talking to ourselves. Money comes in easily and frequently. I'm grateful. I'm blessed. So all of these things were affirmations that me and Chris was personally using for ourselves so we can better ourselves. So that's why we did the album. We put it out with no, we didn't think that everybody was going to listen to it. We did it because you could only put it on repeat. We don't got CDs no more. So there's no more CDs. So if there were CDs, I'd probably still have it on repeat, never put it out. But yeah. I needed to put it on repeat, so we needed to put it out. So boom, we get it ready, we do what we do, and we put it out. And then bang, COVID hit, and then that's when everybody found it. And then boom, after that, me and him said, we going to heal him, never kill him again. We've been doing this. But I was talking mad fast. Chris probably went in a jet.
I mean, you know, there's always different perspectives. You know what I'm saying? You got the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John perspective. It's the same story. It's just from a different lens. You know what I mean? So, yeah, my transition, I would have to say, yeah, everything Teep said, I did start reading. I told him that I was going to manage us because it didn't make sense to have somebody else in position where they could royally fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you could curse on here, but you could bleep that out.
I'm just the explicit warning on every side. I'm joking, Robert. Yeah, go ahead.
There's no other way that it could be said. You know what I mean? So like, there, you know, we're not bitter, we're better. So. We took those experiences, and I know I did internalize them only to transmute them. So like, you know, we took ownership of ourselves instead of giving ownership of ourselves away all the time. Like, oh, this person is going to take care of this. This person is going to take care of that. No, we're going to take care of it, and we're going to keep our thumb on the pulse of everything that's moving Chris and T. That's the only way that it could go. Because I trust myself and I trust my bro. So it's like, okay, that's settled. Now, like he said, we go into the healing. I along with reading contracts, I went heavy into the reading of books. So my first book that changed my whole life and perspective was the Battle of the Mind by Noel Jones.
Hey.
And I was talking to a friend of mine about that, and they were like, yo, that sounds like the law of attraction. So I'm like, all right, dive heavy into that. And there's so many different affirmations that come within The Secret, and there's different exercises. So me and T dove in head first with, you know what I mean, well, all the affirmations, all the practices, all the exercises, like finding a parking spot. Try to find the closest parking spot that you can find. You know what I mean? And this was a confidence booster because it's showing you, like, you do have a majority level of power to be able to create your reality. You know what I'm saying? Like, you do have a major responsibility in that. And so it was a confidence booster. From there, becoming an artist was a little different for me than it was for T, because T was always an artist. You know what I mean? When I met him, he was a rapper. And I actually had a conversation with him like, bro, we need a concentrated focus on one thing. Like, if you want to be an artist, then cool. But if you want to be a producer, let's lock in and master this. So we mastered it, you know what I'm saying? And now, since the mastery took place in that area, it opened up a space for us to be able to be free and creative over here. So T already, it was a no-brainer. He's like, man, forget producing for other people. It's all about me right now. Put myself first, let's go. It's easy. But for me, I was still straddling the fence because that was my identity at that. That's all I knew. Mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, being a musician for someone else, And I wasn't confident. And that's when I learned that I wasn't confident. So I had to work on that. Got in the, you know, the manifestation one was already out in millions and millions of streams. And I still didn't feel like an artist.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I was still straddling the fence with servicing other people and not really putting myself first. So by the time we were working on the second album, that's when I felt the transition of actually being an artist, because we did Best Self. That helped me lose like 80 pounds. You know what I'm saying? That's part of the reason why I wasn't confident. I'm like, I can't be in a front. I look crazy. Like, subconsciously, I just know, like, I can't do that. Like, I can't be out here looking crazy. So I fixed that. I took control of that. And we push yourself first. You know what I'm saying? T did that when I was in London. You know what I mean? And you know, me and him learned so many different things from that as well. You know what I mean? So
I thought TT, because that I thought, so when you text me saying you were here, I thought TT was there as well.
What's that?
When you that day you were in London.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I thought, yeah.
T, he well, you know, I don't know if you
nice course.
But
T, why were you absent?
At that time, so it's interesting. So I already transitioned from production, from working for people. So that the intention to go out there was to work for this artist. So in my mind, I wasn't in love with doing that no more. I couldn't even, and it's interesting because at that time I didn't even know how to tell him. You know what I mean? So I didn't tell him why I didn't. I don't know what was the reason, but I know that was what was on my heart. I remember we talked after this, after everything, and we wound up having to talk about it. But yeah, that was what was going on for me. That was the part that was like, going to go out there and work for someone again, and let them pull from our energy and get nothing back, because we just kept getting nothing back, bro. Every time we would do it, we would get nothing back from these people, like, because of the people we were attracting. I mean, so I'm still working on being able to deal with certain industry stuff and not creating what I'm talking about right now, because I know my words create the reality that I'm experiencing. I know a lot of the stuff we experienced was because once we seen it, we professed it over and over again. So I'm not blaming the industry for where I was at the time. I don't want you to get that misconstrued, because I'm grateful for everything that I've been through. But that's just where I was at. I didn't know how to transition from not being the team from the producer, but being the person that got fans. Like, we got everything that we would have went out there to help that person get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that was why I wasn't out there. But keep going, Chris.
Yeah, and at that time, like, yeah, we definitely had fans and we had listeners in London. You know what I'm saying? We had hella we have hella listeners in London. But you know, that was the we had to have another conversation. You feel me? Like, all right, what is it that we need to do to get our visions aligned again? You know what I'm saying? And really, it was on me.
Okay.
I had to take myself a little bit more serious as an artist and say, all right, I need to make a decision now versus T in the beginning when he was an artist. I put it on him, like, you need to make a decision. And it's like, well, I need to make a decision now. Is it all about us, or is it about what we're doing for everybody else? Is that what makes us important? No, our purpose makes us important. So, you know, I chose up. You see,
Now, and I just want to say it wasn't all you. It was both of us, King, because like I said, I learned how to, from that situation, I learned how to speak up. I was real timid with the not being able to. I was yes, man. I always say yes. You know what I mean? I'm with it. And never spoke my true feelings. So me getting even the confidence to speak to my friends in the way of, you know what, I really don't want to do that. And if you don't understand it, then you know what I mean? But that's not how I thought at that time. And that's why once we did talk and we did, because I felt how he felt. Once he said it, I was like, nah, I feel you. I want to do that too. I just don't want to do it for them. You know what I mean? And we came to it because we still best producers in the world. And we pretty much work with 5 different artists. You know what I mean? And the energy is different. We were on their vision board. Like the artists we work with, we were actually a name on their vision board, opposed to flying state to state to people having to talk our way to their, you gotta clout it up. Oh, yo, we work with 50 Cent. All right, now I'm going to listen with an open ear. I never liked it that. I never liked it that. I never thought that that was cool. I'm like, nah, listen to the music, not because I worked with 50. You know what I mean? But yeah, keep going, Chris.
No, it's funny. I was saying that even for myself as a writer, yeah, I don't regret being a songwriter. But the one thing that I do think affected me was that from about, hold on, I'm 33 now. So let's say from about 15 till about 29, yeah, I didn't know who I was because my mind, success was, how do I create something that somebody else likes, right? So I didn't really have a clear idea about who David was because success financially as a person was, how do I create products? And I, even with grape juice, to be honest, right? I have the talent, I'm a writer, but about other people, other subjects, and that affects you in a way up until you say, you know what, like, I have ideas, I'm gifted, I'm talented, right? And I don't need to give the best of my resources to a system that really and truly isn't going to reward you in any, you know what I'm saying? So I hear that, understand that.
I mean, same system that got our legends living crazy right now. Our legends are dying poor. You know what I'm saying? The people that we, and everybody can do business the way they want, they feel as though it's right, but like, nah, it's very predatory over there. You know what I'm saying? In every way, it's being exposed. So it's like, we don't got to say too much about that, but like, I see it playing out in front of your face right now.
And so, now what's funny is you mentioned that even though the first project had millions of streams, I remember seeing it, you didn't feel like an artist. And what is amazing, as I find in life, if you want something, you have to jump before you're ready. You have to become the thing you are trying to achieve, because I say like this, it's like if you're going somewhere on a train, right, you have to go to the platform and get on the train to get there, right? And even though the journey is uncertain as you're on the train, it's Better that you do that instead of sitting at home wondering. So how did you go from being uncomfortable being a performer, right, to then feeling comfortable? And what did you do to change that?
I had to embrace it. That's the only thing. Like, we had our conversation. We made an agreement, again, which all the agreements we've made with each other have saved us. Our careers have saved our friendships, have saved our, you know, our lives in certain situations, you know what I'm saying? So like the agreements that we make are very important with ourselves and with people that we're partnered with in business or in life. A friendship is a partnership, you know what I'm saying? So it was that, like, you know what I mean? That was sweet. Part of it, for sure.
All right, so let's discuss the new album, right? It's a jazz record. Let's break it down. Now, I want to know all the details.
Man. Go ahead, Chris. You can pop it off.
This one was really fun because I feel like this is a passion project for both of us. musicianship. You see the congas back there. You know what I mean? He's heavy in percussion and drums and stuff like that. And I'm heavy on the melody and the keys. Anything with black and white keys or reverse, I'll play a harpsichord in here. I don't care. You know what I mean? But it's just, you know, it was the passion behind it. Our album is called Really Pushing. And it's a transmutation of what, you know, the trap guys have been saying for these past couple of years. They really pushing P. But if you listen to the record, it don't sound like it's, you can replace that P with positive. So our record, we're reclaiming that because we're really pushing positive. We're really pushing progress, really pushing positivity, peace, you know what I mean? Prosperity, you know, you name it, all the positive P's. And that's how we entitled our album. You know what I mean? We got P5, which is basically our mathematical equation for,
Prior preparation prevents poor performance.
The five P's. Prior preparation prevents poor performance. Then you got pneuma, spelled with a P. That's the breath of life. You feel me? That's the breath of life. That's what we breathe in. That's the breath that God breathed in Adam's nostrils in the garden. You feel me? However you want to look at it, that's that pneuma. You feel me? So that's our soul, basically, our life force flowing through us.
Then track three.
Track
Now
three.
that was track two. Track three is Peace and Prosper.
Yeah.
Peace and Prosper. Break that one down, bro.
That's the seven chakras right there. So Peace and Prosper is each chakra has its own affirmation. I am, I feel, I am abundant. I hold on. I love myself. Hold on. I feel I love is the heart chakra. I speak is the throat. And I know is the crown. I feel is the sacral, I believe. I got the charts in here, but the hook goes like that. So let myself up. Hold on. I am rich, I feel abundant, I have health. I feel, I have self,
I
I
love
speak
myself.
peace. I love myself. I speak peace. That's throat. I see is the third eye. That's the one I was missing. I see. And then I know. There we go. Ah,
Those are seven chakra activation affirmation.
yep.
Exactly what it is.
And were you surprised by how many people have responded? I mean, the projects have been, they've done extremely well. Were you surprised by how well they've done? Or did you guys know that there was this appetite for
We
that?
knew that. Go ahead.
We knew that there was a space for it, but
Mm-hmm.
I'm always surprised. You know what I mean? That's the law of release, because we just put this stuff out. We wanted to do well always. Like our first goal was 1 million streams, which I still have written down, and then we ended up getting 1 million streams a month. So it's like, I don't want to limit what God got for us. You feel me? So I'm always everything. Go ahead, bro.
Now
So
I'm surprised that the reaction from the teenagers, that's an age group that definitely is enjoying the jazz album, so that's fire to me. But go ahead, what was your question?
Mean, it's funny because it kind of leads into that question, actually. I mean, what advice would you give a teenager, to Chris and T, however many years ago, who wants to get into the music business, right? But wants to maintain their sanity? Can it be done, and how would you do it, being Christian to you?
Question. You want to go or?
Say the question again.
Yeah. So, what? How would you, or what advice would you give to a teenager who wants to go into the music industry, right? Who wants to maintain their sanity, who wants to live peacefully, but while also managing some of the more nefarious parts of the business.
I would say what I would tell a teenager right now, I would say be yourself. I know that sounds cliche, but you gotta be yourself because yourself will keep you from pretending to be someone else. So that's when it starts getting crazy. Like when you start acting like other people, that's when you start manifesting other people's visions, but you don't know other people's intention. Right. So you gotta keep, you always gotta make music for you. Don't let nobody tell you make music like what you hear, but make music that you love. If you like it, it's a go. You know what I mean? If you like it and you like where it's at, it's a go. And also, it's all of it's mental. That's another thing I would say. Make sure your mental is right, because how you speak, how you think is definitely how you're going to manifest. So you will get what you want. It's just not always the way you wanted it. You get what I'm trying to say? So, yeah, just wait, because a lot of people out here wanting manifesting the path. So I remember we kept manifesting a manager when we should have been manifesting a Grammy. We should just focus on the goal instead of switching up and turn it into the goal is now a manager, or the goal is now to meet Swiss Beats, or the goal is now to, you know, always focus on that end result goal and allow the journey to happen. Kind of like how me and Chris started when we was younger, like going to New York, we wasn't worried about how it was going to pan out. We just knew if something was going to pop off, something was going to pan out. So just stay in that zone. It wasn't until we allowed the industry, when we heard someone say, yo, y'all being too cocky, and we actually let that sink in. You know what I mean? We actually calmed down then. We ain't going to run through the label then. We thought we were supposed to. Don't let that happen, young fellas, young women. Don't let that happen. You get what I mean? Be you and stay you, no matter what nobody say. That's all I would say.
Sound advice, Chris. What would you say?
I would say the same. Be you, always. But in order to be you, you gotta, you know who you are. So, mm-hmm. to work on finding out who you are, what you like. You know what I mean? And once you lock in on that, no matter what you're trying to be. A writer, an artist, a producer, an executive, you're gonna cut through, because authenticity is one of the highest vibrations ever. You know what I mean? People are gonna feel that. So doing the work to identify who you are and even your purpose, that's important too. But everybody doesn't know that. Like I would have to say I didn't find out our first album.
Wow. You know, sometimes I think a way to work out who you are is to work out who you want to be. Because once you work out what your values are, let's say you say, you know what, I wish I was more confident, I wish I was more outspoken, I wish I could be more charitable. Those things you value are really who you are. It just may be that in your current circumstance, don't have the means to express those traits, but those are the things that you should really focus on, because that's who you really are.
Right, absolutely, I agree.
Exactly.
You mentioned before about as a songwriter getting lost in what other people want. Me and Teeb had the same conversation, and I was like, "Yo, you were to make your own solo album without anybody else's input, what would it sound like?" And I asked myself the same question, and we didn't really have an answer. So, and we were already making albums as artists. So, I mean, you're always discovering, you know what I mean? Always in self-discovery mode. But authenticity, that's the best place for you.
That's brilliant.
That was a good question, too. I remember that question, Chris. That's really what made me like, okay, we're going to have to produce, because we have so many albums in our mind. As Chris and Teeb, it's impossible to pick which one. So we needed Transmutation God. That the songs we've done on there, they're songs that can't go on the Chris as Chris and Teeb as artists. It's like we did Baddie Affirmations for Shariah. It's called Baddie Affirmations. Chris and Teeb can't drop that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But we did that album. We produced that whole album, and I love that album. You know, we did Check the Numbers. We did Risk of Vibes. So all of those sound collections, you know, all those projects is that question that he asked, but as Chris and T, what do we want to do? So now you get the jazz album, because that's our passion project. That's something that we was like, yo, I always want to do that. I remember watching them growing up play live doing church joints, but they were blended with Music Soul Child at the time and stuff like that. And they would have a crowd going crazy. So I actually got to experience a childhood dream, being able to be on stage as a, like, with a, as the artist, like how I envisioned it, watching them as a kid. You get what I mean? And now I got the same cats behind me playing, and I'm doing, I love myself, I feel big. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I'm living my dream at that moment.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Jazz album, man. It's definitely a dream come true. Dream big. Dream big. And
it's probably on Spotify, Apple Music, all the streaming services, yeah?
Yeah.
And if someone is a new fan, right, if not track one, where do you start? Actually, you know, yeah, better question, right? Of all the songs on the record, which would you say embodies what you are trying to present the best?
It depends on what day for me.
Okay.
If you have a particular one...
Yeah, it depends on the day. That's the beauty part about it. It's more tool-based. Our music are tools. So it depends on the feeling, the emotion we in. Like, I was going to say present moment mode, but that's the vibration I'm in today. I want to be present today. I want to make sure that I'm not too much in the future or too much in the past. You know, I want to just focus on what I got to do. You know what I mean? So I listen to that a lot. I just got to remind myself to be present, but then you got Pure Potential when I need to.
I'm Pure Potential.
So it all depends.
You can tune in as a fan and you can pick tracks which work for you on any given day. So let's just say you need some motivation on one track. So one day you play one track, you need some peace on another, you play another. So it really is a guide, I might say, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Chris and T, it has been brilliant speaking to you guys.
Man, it's always amazing. For real. Appreciate it.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. And so we're approaching 2025. What's next for you guys?
I used to hate that question.
Now I love it. I love it. I love the question now.
Go on.
I used to hate that question. But expect the unexpected. For real, for real.
Seven albums coming. He being modest, Doc.
Yeah.
We got like seven. We got the Collective Consciousness. That's a album we put together for a group. It's almost a group of conscious creators. Some like that's not totally over here yet, but on their way. So we got writers and stuff like that. We just going, you know, let them heal the world with us. You feel me? That's the Collective Consciousness. But then we got the Avengers album. That's the Affirmation Avengers that we work with. That's Shariah, Orisa Vibes, Chris and T, Mellow Will, and Peachka. Mm-hmm. Right? Yup, and Peachka. So we're doing a collective album for that. Then we got the Manifestation Kids album, where, you know, we got the kids doing the remakes of all of our classic records, like Wake Up, I Could Do Anything, So Perfect.
I'll stop you right there, bro.
Go ahead.
Kids, but our
kids, yeah.
Ah, that's so nice.
Yeah, yeah, not facts. It's gonna be our kids. That's a fact.
Not just any old kids.
You know, it's funny. When you mentioned the kids project, I saw Chris put his hands up. I was like, oh, yo, why is Chris so enthused? Now it makes sense. Chris is like, yeah, okay, I see. That's amazing. Okay, interesting. Okay, so has it been difficult to produce your kids in the studio? When does dad come in? When does producer leave? Or is it all the same?
It's all the same. Dad is your producer. It's all the same because at the end of the day, I'm trying to get a result. Mm. I'm trying to produce something. And I do that in the house with them. You know what I mean? We got to produce results today, kids. Like, did you check off your checklist? Did you, you know, You can have fun, but make sure you do what you gotta do. So I take it at 8. It can't be more than 45 minutes.
Okay.
How about you, team? How you work with the Bulls?
Pretty much the same. Gotta be like, ha ha ha, I ain't gonna be that way all day. I promise you that. Like, nah, this is gonna be a journey, you know, parent stuff, you feel me? It'll get done though.
Okay, so we're not okay. You know what? Not just yet. I was gonna ask you about release dates, but let's wait. Yeah, for that.
We don't even have them. I don't even know. I just know they all will come out though. But we are a lot of the albums I named pretty much done, and we're doing the Manifestation 3 too. So we gonna drop. We dropping all of that though. Manny 3 might be the only one. But we shooting for that fourth quarter.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. So where can a listener find you if they'd like to know more?
ChrisandT.com. That got all our socials, but everything is Chris and T. Make sure you check us out on TikTok. T has a hell of a morning show. You feel me? A hell of a rising show, should I say, for passions folks out there. Check him out at 9 a.m. Eastern on TikTok.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's live.
Live.
Oh wow.
Yep. Yeah. TikTok. I go live Monday through Friday, 9 to 12. We rise with the sun. We healing them. We not killing them. My only goal is to get you in your biggity on your feet and out your seat. You know what I mean? We upgrading DNA today. You feel me? So that's pretty much the vibe. Eastern Standard Time too, by the way, Monday through Friday. So what's up?
Sweet. Well, I'll tune in.
All right then,
guys. Have a good day. Great speaking to you.
Great speaking to you as well. Have an amazing day.
God bless.
Facts. Bless. Peace.